Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. And as always, you can reach out to send a voicemail. Go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to leave your voicemail messages for me in case you can't stay on the line for so long. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to leave your voicemail message. Got a jam-packed show coming your way. Got a lot of stuff getting into. I got a boxing match to touch on that took place this Saturday night between Shakur Stevenson and Teofimo Lopez. I got some NBA stuff to get into as the NBA's trading deadline approaches this Thursday. Giannis Antetokounmpo, will he remain a Milwaukee Buck or will he be moving on? And if he is going to move on, will it be to the Miami Heat? Will it be to the New York Knicks? Will it be to the Minnesota Timberwolves? Will it be to the Golden State Warriors or the Houston Rockets? Obviously, those are the five teams that a lot of people have been mentioning. We'll see what transpires as the show progresses today. Of course, the Knicks beat the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James at Madison Square Garden last night. We'll definitely get into that as well. That's something else that's worthy of us all touching on. But the order of the day is the National Football League for several reasons. Number one, it's Super Bowl week. It officially has arrived. The teams have arrived in the Bay Area. The New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks are getting set for Super Bowl week. Super Bowl 60 scheduled to take place in Santa Clara this Sunday night. With the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots going at one another, the chance to capture a Super Bowl championship. Right now, a lot of people have been debating what's the better story, whether it's the New England Patriots or it's the Seattle Seahawks. To me, it's the Seattle Seahawks. It's the Seattle Seahawks because of Coach McDonald. It's the Seattle Seahawks because of the exceptional stewardship of Schneider, the general manager, head of football operations for the Seahawks. But most importantly, it's the better story because of Sam Darnold. Fifth team of his career, fourth team over the last 4 years, was with the Minnesota Vikings last year, guided them to a 14-2 record before nosediving over an eight-day span, first losing the season finale to the Detroit Lions with a number one seed on the line. By losing that game, they fell to fifth as opposed to being a number one seed, which means they had to go on the road to play the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs, and they got shellacked. Courtesy of scoring just 9 points, Sam Darnold getting sacked 9 times, committing 2 turnovers, and everybody looked at him and said, he is what we thought he was. He's just not that dude. He's never going to be that dude. So the Minnesota Vikings, having him on a one-year, $10 million deal, despite having a franchise tag and being able to keep him for 1 year with the franchise tag, but paying him one of the top five salaries at his position in the league, they veered away from that. And they let him walk out the door and go to the Seattle Seahawks for a 3-year, $100 million contract, about $55 million guaranteed, all of that stuff. And he ends up guiding them to a 14-3 record. And as a result, not just doing that, but also putting them in a position where, you know, they're in the Super Bowl. So Sam Darnold, over the last 2 years, okay, essentially, if you take into account the 14-2 record before losing those last two games, which means he's at 14-4. And then you take into account the 14-3 record right here, along with two additional playoff games that he's won. Basically, that puts his record at about 30-7 over the last 2 years. Five of those contests were against the Los Angeles Rams, who he's 2-3 again against, having just beaten in the NFC Championship game, 31-27, to advance to Super Bowl 60. So if you take out the Rams, all right, and you look at the rest of his record, okay, Sam Darnold is 28-4 against everybody else in the National Football League. It's an incredible story. And when you look at it, the job that he has done and the way that he has performed, you just can't say enough. 346 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Against the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC Championship game. A lot of people didn't anticipate that. They didn't see that coming. But nevertheless, it arrived here. And then when you look at the bevy of weapons that he's had available to him, Jackson Smith and Jigba, 1,793 yards receiving during the regular season. Kenneth Walker, now that Charbonnet is out with his ACL injury, or his knee injury rather, he's gone. He's out for the rest of the year. I mean, what's he rushed for 1,027 yards. He averaged 4.6 yards a carry. You look at Cooper Kupp and what he's been able to do for you this season, okay? You look at Rashid Shaheed, he's still, I mean, look, what are you going to say, at least at the time anyway? What he did in the past. You had all of these weapons available to you during the regular season. And during the playoffs, it's Cooper Kupp. It's Njigba. And just looking at the rest of these guys, Barnes, can't forget about him. I'm just looking at them right now, and I'm saying to myself, listen, I can't ignore what I'm seeing. Seattle just looks like a juggernaut. Their offense, everybody's been talking about their defense, which is ranked number one. Offensively, they're the third-ranked offense in the National Football League. Top 10 rushing attack. Okay? Top 10 passing attack. Top 10 in yards accumulated. Number 3 overall. In terms of points scored, 483 on the season. Seattle's no joke. And I'm trying to figure out how the New England Patriots are going to beat them. And I think that's a legitimate question to ask yourself for this rest of this season. I mean, this Super Bowl that I'm talking about here. How are the New England Patriots going to beat this team? That's really what I want to know. Because I'm trying to tell you right now, I'm struggling with it. I'm absolutely positively struggling with it. I'm trying to figure out how's it going to happen. Because I just don't know. I really, really don't. I'm trying to figure out what is it that they're going to do. What is it that they're going to pull off? Let me not forget Jake Bobo. He caught a touchdown pass, just like Cooper Kupp did. I'm just looking at Seattle right now. They don't seem to have a weakness. New England, I think their offense is a weakness. I think when you look at the New England Patriots and you see them for what they are, you see an MVP candidate in Drake May. You see a coach of the year in Mike Vrabel. You see some additional weapons that they have at their disposal that we can't summarily dismiss. And we got to give credit where credit is due. It's a top two offense. It's a top five defense. The New England Patriots don't appear to be a joke at all. But when I'm looking at you scoring 18 points per game, which is the lowest we've seen from a Super Bowl participant having produced in the playoffs since 1979. When I'm looking at that and I'm looking at how you struggle offensively, yes, Denver was a blizzard. Yes, the Houston Texans had an absolutely elite defense. I got all of that point, but you still put 28 up against them. Yes, you only put up 16 against the Chargers. I'm just looking at the New England Patriots and I'm saying, how are you going to score on Seattle? That's what I've got my mind on. Travion Henderson gonna run the football for you. Stephon Diggs, 1,000-yard receiver, 85 receptions this year. Had a pretty damn good year. Kayshawn Boutte, let's not forget about him. He's obviously a weapon that you can't ignore. I mean, you see some of the pieces that they have in place, and you're saying to yourself, okay, they can make it interesting if their defense keeps it in it, no question about it. But this will have to be a low scoring. The only way this is not going to be a convincing, lopsided contest is if New England's defense, which is capable of, but if they pull off holding the Seattle Seahawks, let's say it's about 20 points, 20 to 23 points. Because I'm here to tell you right now, I can't see New England scoring over 20. And I'm being nice about it because it's the Super Bowl. Nerves and other things come into consideration, and you pull stuff out of your hat. You got Josh McDaniels, your offensive coordinator. You can't rule out anything with New England. That is absolutely positively true. And we get that part. But I'm of the mindset that you got to figure out something. And it's got to be something special, because if you don't, I'm worried about a blowout, ladies and gentlemen. If I'm being totally honest with you, I'm worried about a blowout. And I don't understand how I'm alone on this. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. That's just how I'm looking at it. So when we talk about the better story, I'm looking at New England, and you want to look at their record? All right, fine. But they've had the weakest schedule since 1999. When they went into postseason, Chargers' offensive line was debilitated. Two of their offensive linemen were out. You go against the Houston Texans, Nico Collins was out. Their offense was suspect to begin with, and then Schultz got hurt in the second quarter as a tight end. That was compromised. And then when you went up against Denver, a blizzard came in the second half. You couldn't see 5 feet in front of you. This is what we're talking about when we're looking at the New England Patriots. I mean, my God, how lucky can you be? If you want to make the legitimate argument that the New England Patriots are going to turn around and win the Super Bowl, I got the number one word you can utilize to utilize at your disposal. Do you know what it is? Luck. Because between scheduling and then who you ended up playing in the playoffs and how all three opponents were handicapped, I don't know how you can look at it any other way. How much luck do they have left at their disposal? I think that's a very, very legitimate question. And I don't think there's any way to get around that. That's how I look at it. That's how I view the New England Patriots. I don't see any other way around it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. This 888-623-3646. I think that's a very fair assessment to give when we're talking about certain things. And then obviously, there's other things to take into consideration. Like, for example, Drake May's shoulder injury. He hasn't said much about it. They don't appear to be worried, but that wasn't going to stop people from asking the question. Mike Vrabel, head coach for the New England Patriots, answered that very question about Drake May's shoulder injury. Listen to what the head coach for the New England Patriots had to say.
Not much. I try not to have a whole lot of concern. I just want to try to prepare the football team and make sure that everybody's ready and that we all have a plan and, you know, not to surprise anybody and make sure that our guys are focusing on the first and second down plan. I know that's, you know, we've tried to map out the week here or week and a half and not look at the end of it, but focus on what we can do today.
Here's Drake May, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, talking about the same issue. Let's see what he had to say about his shoulder injury.
I'm just, you know, trying to do whatever I can to, you know, get back to 100%. And I think a lot of people in the locker room would say the same thing. Having a two-week break, you know, it's nice to maybe rest a little more and get to know the Seahawks as good as I can. And from there, looking forward to getting, you know, out to practice and trying to transfer that to live, you know, game reps.
Drake May had more to say because that wasn't the only question he was asked. He was going to be asked about the injury and whether or not it was going to limit his ability to get ready for the Super Bowl. Here's what he had to say about that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's why you spend time. That's why you have, you know, trainers. And, you know, I think it's just been, you know, one of those things where it's a long season and, you know, sometimes you know, things show up and, you know, I do whatever I can to, you know, feel 100%. And I'm sure I'll get, you know, if not there, as close as you can, 99, or do whatever I can to make sure I'm throwing. And like I said, do whatever I can to help the team win.
He's answering the question it's supposed to be the way it's supposed to be asked. What the hell is he supposed to say, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not going to be ready to play. And nobody want to hear that. I can tell you, New England, Foxborough, Massachusetts, and the surrounding areas. Nobody want to hear that. It's Super Bowl. You better find get your behind ready. It's just that simple. You understand? Either you could go or you can. And if you can go, we don't want to hear excuses. That's how they living up there. That's how they should be living up there. That's a championship town. That's what they're accustomed to. And needless to say, he ain't the only person dealing with injuries. I mean, for weeks now, we've been hearing about Sam Darnold and that oblique injury that he has suffered from. Here's John Snyder, the head of football operations for the Seattle Seahawks, on how Sam Darnold has handled his injury. Let's hear what he has to say.
He hasn't flinched. You know, it's kind of like I think we were all more panicked, you know, than what was going on. And he was kind of like looking at us like we had three heads. He's like, what's everybody so worried about? He's like, I'll be good. So I haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks like not throw a ball and then go out and play like that.
That's John Snyder for the Seattle Seahawks. Listen, at the end of the day, both quarterbacks are going to be ready. Everybody going to be ready. Unless there's an injury that takes place in the Super Bowl, there was such a severe injury that you wasn't going to participate in the Super Bowl, everybody going to be ready. Because you don't really, really have a choice. If we're keeping it a buck, if we're being totally honest about it, you really don't have a choice. It's a Super Bowl, y'all. Anybody got time for all of this nonsense? You got to get it done. It's just that simple. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Right now, you Drake May. I'm just trying to figure it out. They're going to run the football. They're going to give it to Ramondre Stevenson a lot or Trevion Henderson. That's what you're going to do? You're going to throw the football? Who you going to throw it to? Stephon Diggs, Hunter Henry, Butte, Matt Collins? I mean... You got to do something. I think in order for New England to make some noise in this Super Bowl, that defense has to rise to the occasion. They got to limit Seattle. It can't be 41-6 like Seattle blitzed San Francisco in the divisional playoff game. It can't even be 31 points that they registered against the Los Angeles Rams. You're the New England Patriots. Your defense is better than the Los Angeles Rams. You're going to have to figure out a way to limit the Seattle Seahawks to 23 points or less. I say 20 or less, actually. That, to me, is how you got to win this game. That's how I see it. What say you? 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. A couple other things I want to get into. The Cardinals have hired a new head coach. His name is Mike LaFleur, as in LaFleur, the brother of Matt LaFleur for the Green Bay Packers. He's been the Rams offensive coordinator the last couple of years. He is the new head coach for the Arizona Cardinals. Another individual plucked from the Sean McVay tree. The Raiders are expected to hire Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, as their new head coach. Okay? So, they're going to do that. And the 49ers have hired their new defensive coordinator. That would happen to be Raheem Morris, the former head coach for the Atlanta Falcons, who I actually was rooting to get an opportunity for the Baltimore Ravens job that ended up going back to San Fran as a defensive coordinator. There were 10 openings, ladies and gentlemen, 10. Not one single African-American hired as a head coach of the 10 openings. 9 whites and the Lebanese individual that is known as head coach Robert Saleh, now of the Tennessee Titans, former defensive coordinator in San Francisco and former head coach for the New York Jets. The Rooney Rule, from my understanding, was not violated. Numerous minority candidates were interviewed, and the teams hired the individuals they thought were the best people for the job, so they say. My point is, the Rooney Rule was implemented in 2003. I think at that time there was 4 black head coaches. It is the year 2025. The Rooney Rule has been in effect for the last 22 years, 23 years. Modifications to that rule where coordinators got interviewed and folks were getting interviewed for executive positions as well, modifications took place in the year 2022. Yet we stand here today with 3 black head coaches in the National Football League. So it's less than what it was when the Rooney Rule was first implemented. So, the bottom line is, as we sit here for Super Bowl week, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'm just pointing out the facts. You got D'Amico Ryans. You got Aaron Glenn. D'Amico Ryans in Houston, Aaron Glenn in New York, and Todd Bowles in Tampa. Those are the 3 black head coaches. And 2 of them are lucky to still have their job because a lot of people thought that Aaron Glenn should and would lose his job with the New York Jets. And, of course, Todd Bowles, the way that Tampa struggled this year, there were huge question marks as to whether or not he would be brought back. But, nevertheless, he has been brought back. So that's how we have to look at it from that standpoint. We also have to look at the fact that, you know, I saw somebody talk about how Mike Tomlin walked away. Well, the Steelers, in all likelihood, were looking to make a change anyway, which also assisted in his willingness to walk away. When fans in Pittsburgh are chanting that you should be fired, then obviously, your time there, in all likelihood, is up. I love Mike Tomlin. I never want him to leave. But you got to see the forest from the trees, and you knew what people were saying. So that is that. But one of the things that we're going to get into, or we're going to at least mention today. So we've got that going on with the coaches. We got a Draymond Green getting a technical and alluding to a referee who was not black, putting his hands in his face and stuff like that. And Draymond just said he got a tech because he told the man, don't put your hand in my face. You know, so you got that kind of stuff going on. It's a lot. It's a lot, to say the least. One of the other things we have to get into is LeBron James being a reserve on the NBA All-Star team. His 22nd All-Star selection, props to him. And the New York Knicks, again, beating the Los Angeles Lakers in the Giannis trade rumors. There's a whole bunch of stuff to get into. I'm not going anywhere. Don't you either. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. We're discussing Super Bowl week and everything else as well in the world of sports. Plus, I'm going to get in one of the funniest things happened with a boxing match this weekend. I'm quite sure y'all saw the tape. It's been viral. A fighter known as Big Baby literally got his toupee knocked off. Absolutely hilarious. But a lot of good stuff went on in boxing as well this week. So I'll be talking about that as well. Lots of stuff going on. Lines are open. Feel free to holler at your boy, 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. More of your calls and then some in a minute. Stick around. You're listening live to Stephen A., SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A.? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
28 minutes past hour number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Before I get to the calls, let me say this. I've been on the airwaves over the last couple of weeks going off about how the New York Knicks need to do everything they can to get their hands on Giannis Antetokounmpo, a person that I believe, when healthy, is one of the top five players on the planet Earth. I've changed my mind. It's not because I watched the New York Knicks win their sixth straight game last night. It's not because over this six-game stretch, I've seen them become number one in defensive efficiency and number two in scoring efficiency. It's not because I love me some OG Anunoby and I like Karl Anthony Towns a lot and Jalen Brunson is the franchise. It's not because of those things. I mean, they have something to do with it, of course, but it's not just that. It's them damn four calf injuries that Giannis Antetokounmpo has suffered over the last 19 months. See, when I think about Cav, I think about Kevin Durant. I think about Tyrese Halliburton. I think about the caution that was exercised that was ultimately thrown to the wind by both of them because it was a championship on the line in KD's last year in Golden State, and it was a championship on the line last year, Game 7 in the NBA Finals when Tyrese and Indiana were going up against Oklahoma City. And I'm saying to myself that even though a calf injury is not always a prerequisite to an Achilles tear, damn it, there's been enough evidence that's got me nervous. And the last thing I want is the New York Knicks building momentum with a team they already have in place, albeit one that could potentially lose to the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs. I don't want to see them give up a couple of their core pieces, another pick or one of the second round picks or whatever for Giannis, and then Giannis tears his Achilles. I don't need that problem. I don't need that problem. Don't want that problem. Don't even want to think about it. See that video right there of Tyrese Halliburton going down in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. See Jason Tatum going down against the Knicks in that game. Was it that game four at the Garden? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the New York Knicks, who were in a game seven of a conference semifinals 2 years ago, in a game six of a conference finals last year, and knocking at the door for a berth to the NBA Finals. I don't want to see all of that jeopardized because you got two or three players you're going to have to let go of to get Giannis. And then something like that happens. I'm worried. I'm not wishing that. I don't want that for Giannis, whether he's in a New York Knicks uniform or not. I love the guy. He's one of the top five players on the planet. I just don't want to see the New York Knicks make that kind of investment, and then all of a sudden your team is depleted because not only do you not have those players anymore, but you also don't have Giannis. Because the calf injuries become something that's far more significant, or it doesn't even have to come significant, but since you sense it will and you fear it will, you sit him down and he's not available to you when you got other cats that are available right now. OG Anunoby got paid over $200 million. He's worth it. Jalen Brunson is worth it. Mikal Bridges, he wasn't worth 5 first-round picks, damn it. Don't get me started with that. But he's worth the $150 million he's getting paid. Josh Hart. New York Knicks are one game under 500 without him. 14 games over 500 with him. And Karl Anthony Towns is no scrub, selected as an all-star, needs to improve his shooting from three-point range, get back to what he used to be able to do instead of shooting 35% from three-point range. But the brother's good for 19 and 12 a game. I got mad love for Cat. Again. Nobody's Giannis. Or at least most people ain't Giannis. But at least the Knicks got healthy bodies on the court. Right now, he's not, and that worries me. So I have changed my position. I don't mind the New York Knicks standing pat and not going after him before the NBA trading deadline expires. Suddenly, I don't mind. Suddenly, it doesn't really bother me. Because I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, hey, is he going to be available? Is he going to be available? That's my issue. And I think it's a worthy concern. I don't think it's something that could be summarily dismissed. And I just want to say that. I think it's important. Just so we understand each other. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. By the way, Milwaukee Bucks coach Doc Rivers just yesterday spoke on the issue of Giannis Antetokounmpo potentially being traded before Thursday's trading deadline. Listen to what Doc Rivers had to say here. Please take it away, Sean.
Giannis has said everything that we need to hear, that he wants to be a Buck, he loves the city. And that's all I can go by as a coach right now. Has it been difficult? Yeah, you know, your players every day have to hear stuff every single day about not just their best player, but they're thrown in the mix as well. You know, my favorite day of the year this year will be the day after the trade deadline. That'll be my favorite day. Because I don't think, I think everyone will be here and we can get to, you know what I'm saying? So right. I'm looking forward to that.
Let me say something real quick, because Doc Rivers says something, and I think it's very important that I say this, just to get this out the way. Doc Rivers says, what is it, the day after the trading deadline. That'll be his happiest day of the year. Doc Rivers wasn't telling you the truth. He wasn't telling you the truth. His favorite day is going to be Monday, April 13th. That's the day after the season's over. And we ain't got to look at these Milwaukee Bucks anymore because they are a shell of themselves. Without Giannis being 18 and whatever their record is at this particular moment in time, 18 and 29, 11 games under 500, losers of 5 straight, and 8 of their last 9. This is not a team that's going anywhere. And so don't tell me that Doc Rivers, his best day of the year is going to be Friday after the trading deadline's over. It's going to be April 13th when the season's over. So he don't even have to coach this team anymore. Let's get that out the way right now. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. You're listening live, Stephen A., SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Biscuit in Houston. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, big time? How are you?
Hey, you know, it's been a minute, my brother Smith.
How are you, my man?
Hey, man, all is well, man. Let me say this, man. Since we last spoke, man, I kicked that door in, man, that 60 club, man. I'm going to hold the door open for you.
That's right. Hold it open for me. Hold it open for me, man. Let me tell you something, Biscuit. Biscuit, let me tell you something right now. We're lucky, man. We're blessed. Because, yeah. Biscuit, tell me I'm lying. Who would want to be young in today's generation?
Ooh, man.
I'm happy I'm getting older. It don't bother me at all, bro. What? It don't bother me at all with what we see in this world. I'm happy I'm getting older. Don't bother me one bit.
I go out to brunch with some of my, you know, my wife and a couple other couples and stuff and see what's going on. And the man, like, okay.
As long as you're feeling good, as long as you're feeling good and looking good, birth certificate don't mean a damn thing. Birth certificate works in your favor. You're closer to retirement, but you don't feel like it and you don't look like it. That's the new goal.
That's the new goal, man.
I feel better now than I did since I was in my early 30s. I'm better at 58. I'm telling you right now, I couldn't be happier. I wish I was older, but go ahead.
Let me say this, man. Have you been checking out my boy Fleming for U of H, man? That's a cold-blooded brother, man.
I got to check it out. I've heard a lot about him. I got to check it out. I've been pretty busy, but I'll check it out.
I'm in agreement with you, though. And before I say that, if Cat keep playing like he playing, y'all got a shot. But let me say this. You said it earlier, and I was in agreement with you 2 weeks ago when you said New England better not lose to
Damn right. Not right to know Jarrett that. Stidham. Hell
you
no.
You right on that. And damn right. Unfortunately, I think you're going to be right on the Super Bowl, man. I throw a party every year, and I've been telling people, hey, man, get here early. Get your food going on because the game going to be over by its halftime.
I hope that New England's defense keeps it tight because New England knows it's under immense pressure because if you're not able to score on Seattle – how you going to make this a game if your defense gets run over? You're going to have to show up. You have to neutralize Seattle's offense. You're going to have to pull us off.
Weather to help them out this time, Brother Smith.
Say what?
It's going to be good weather. The weather won't be able to help them out this time. It's going to be good weather.
Right. Well, it ain't going to be a blizzard. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that.
I'm calling it right now, man. 42-20.
I'm thinking 31-20 Seattle myself, but I reserve the right to change my mind until I make my final prediction on Friday. Biscuit, appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for calling in. Dan in Houston, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, bro. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for calling. Man, what's going on?
I just want to chime in on this Giannis trade, you know, or a possibility. Honestly, I don't think he's going to get moved before the trade deadline, and I'll tell you why. Because everyone's looking at what Nico Harrison did last year. A year ago today, that Luka Doncic trade came through, and everyone was up in arms. And I don't think Milwaukee wants to make a similar trade like that because Giannis is...
Oh, Milwaukee won't make a similar trade like that. They ain't going to lose Giannis for one pick.
No. I understand that. But I also think, and talking about what you were hitting on earlier with Doc Rivers... I think he's gone at the end of the season. So right now,
well, Doc's planning on from what I'm being told, Doc's planning on walking away. Doc's whole thing was do this for a couple of years or so like that. He's been coaching for over 20 some odd years. You know, pension's gonna be in place in a whole bit. Sometimes it's time to step away. And I it wouldn't surprise me at all if Doc Rivers. I don't think you're gonna have to fire him or let him go or whatever. I think Doc Rivers is gonna walk away. That's what I think is gonna happen.
Yeah, and I think with that happening, you know, Milwaukee's going to try to be more aggressive to see what coach they bring in and who's going to fit better with him in their system. And I think Giannis is going to play it out the rest of the season, you know, I don't think anything's going to happen by the trade deadline because, you know, I know you've been talking about Houston being a great contender for someone that can make a good trade for them, but I think the Rockets got a good thing going right now, and I think to shake things up right now, I think could possibly be detrimental to them making a deep.
Well, if you're Houston, here's why I think you stand pat, because if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you're going to insist on two guys, Shagun and Amen Thompson, and I ain't letting go of Amen Thompson, bro. I'm not letting him go. I'm telling you that right now. I'm not letting him go. The brother is too special. I'm not letting him go. And he's got such incredible promise. You got Kevin Durant. You gave up a whole bunch of trade assets in order to get him, okay? Now what you have is available assets. You got first-round swaps with Brooklyn this year. You got your own first-round pick this year. And you got a first-round pick in 2029. And so because of that, I'm looking at that, and I'm saying if you Houston and you got these cats with Ime Udoka calling them, coaching them, and you can put four guys in a lineup, all 6'11 and above, in your starting lineup. And oh, by the way, Fred VanVleet will be ready next year. I'm like, why mess with what you got now? I would leave it be. Now, my personal opinion, I would leave it be.
Yeah, I agree.
I wouldn't mess with it. All right, man. Appreciate the call. John in Atlanta. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, John? How are you? Talk to me.
Hey, thanks for injecting some sanity into the Knicks. I hope Leon is listening to you. God forbid we make that trade.
I can't blame Leon, John, because remember, I was going off until these calf injuries. I like, get him. He's one of the top five players in the world. You put him with Jalen Brunson. Oh, my Lord. You understand? And listen, would I give up Carl Anthony Towns? I love Carl Anthony Towns, but would I give him and Mikal Bridges up and a couple of second-round picks or whatever for Giannis? Absolutely. I don't want to lose Anunoby. I can tell you that much. I want to hold on to him for dear life. I want to hold on to Josh Hart for dear life. I want to hold on to those guys. But with those four calf injuries in the last 19 months, I don't think you should do anything.
I'm afraid. I called you about the Super Bowl. When I heard you talk this, I'm a long-suffering Knicks fan like you, and I see the injury occurring, and we get so close, and they seem to have played. You brought up some great KPIs about them second in offense and second in defense during this stretch, which means that is the potential of this team. So I love the direct what we're doing right now, and I don't want to interrupt the momentum. And you know, player personnel changes do that, and so I would like to keep it as is. My call was originally about the Super Bowl. 100% correct on that. I think he may be correct. I'm concerned. I got a feeling this may be a whitewash by halftime.
That's our fear. That's our fear. But in fairness, it's not because of New England's defense.
Yeah.
New England's defense has given us every reason to believe in them. It's their offense that we have questions about. So now the question is, and I guess a better question, John, would be this. What do you have more faith in, if you have any faith in New England? What would you have more confidence in? The offense breaking out and breaking through and making a couple of things happening with Josh McDaniel patrolling, you know, the offense with Drake May? Or do you think New England's defense will figure out a way to neutralize Seattle's offense the way San Francisco did at the end of the regular season when they lost like 13-3 but still limited Seattle to like 13 points?
That's it.
Which one
that's
do you have more faith in happening?
The defense, I got to be candid. I think you're hoping Darnold, and I agree with you. I think there's a lot more pressure on Darnold than we think in this game.
Okay.
I do think that the defense is really New England can't break. They can bend. And if they can give up the field goal as opposed to the touchdowns, again, we're trading back possessions, get a pick or a fumble. As you know, that happens in big games. That could be big. My last thing, I just leave you with this. You and I both know that there would be three more minority coaches if they were available, and that is Brian Flores, that is Marcus Freeman, that is Mike Tomlin.
Hold on one second. I agree with you. First of all, in fairness to you, I agree with you about Tomlin and Freeman. All right? Freeman could have, but he locked in with Notre Dame. Wise decision on his part. Tomlin decided to walk away, but he definitely would have been somewhere else in the event if he had wanted to instead of stepping away for the years, but they would have had to give Pittsburgh compensation because he still have 2 years remaining on his contract. Your first one, Brian Flores, why would you say that? What do you mean if he was available?
Steven, you and I both know he's got that lawsuit. That's an album.
Right. You know, you said available. That's why you confused me.
I got you. Yeah, I agree.
You used the word available. That's why I was asking what do you mean he's not available.
He's head and shoulders. He's head and shoulders. Listen, he had two very solid years in Miami. He's done a fine job in Minnesota. If that lawsuit, once that lawsuit is adjudicated, whether it's dismissed or goes on, he is going to get a coaching job. And I'm happy. I'm from Atlanta. I'm a Giants fan. But I'm glad Raheem is with the 49ers. I think he's going to be a great – listen.
But you know what I like about you, John? You know what I like about you? See, I get suspicious and I ask questions, right? And rather than bitch and moan about the fact that I asked a question, like a lot of people are prone to do in this day and age, you simply called up and answer it. Because that makes perfect sense what you said. You see what I'm saying? You see, it's like whether it's me talking politics, it's news, it's social commentary, it's sports or whatever. When I ask a question, yes, I'm being transparent and letting you know what I have trepidation or suspicion about. But I truly, truly am looking to hear other people's answer. And rather than folks, because you know the world we live in, everybody on a bitch and moan and act like you've committed a crime for asking a question, John in Atlanta simply called up and answered the damn question. And makes perfect sense, because now I feel better. I'm like this, damn it, he's right. If it was Tomlin, if it was Marcus Freeman, if it was Brian Flores without the lawsuit, they damn sure would have had jobs in the NFL right now.
I think
you're absolutely right.
It's probably also because, Stephen, I'm from Elmhurst, Queens.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it is. Queens, homeboy. That's what it's about. That's what I'm talking about, John. But you answered the question. I appreciate it. I feel a hell of a lot better now. I'm like, that makes perfect sense. Those, at least two of those three would have had a head coach job right now. At least two of those three. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, John. Appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number. Call us 888-623-3646. Ladies and gentlemen, in the world that we're living in, that's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for the Johns of the world. Don't bitch and moan about what people's intent are behind the question. Damn it, I got a right to be suspicious, upset, or a bit truculent, or pensive about an issue. I'm willing to be honest and put it on Front Street. I have a question. No bitching and moaning. John in Atlanta called up and gave the answer. Man, and three of those guys, they'd have had a head coaching job. At least two of them. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. More of your calls in a minute. Don't touch that dial. You're listening live to Stephen A. on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Some nuggets of notes that my researchers were kind enough to get to me. Number one, over the last two calendar years involving Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's had 19, count them, 19 different stints on the injury list, for stints ranging from one game to multiple weeks. The injuries include the calf, which is four times, groin, knee, shoulder, foot, back, abductor, hamstring, Achilles, and shoulder. By the way, Commissioner Roger Goodell for the National Football League will hold his annual State of the NFL news conference this afternoon. Some of the expected topics will include Bad Bunny's halftime show and ICE, because Trump and the Trump administration is threatening to have ICE at the Super Bowl. So imagine folks who are of Latino Hispanic descent wanting to attend the Super Bowl to see Bad Bunny perform. ICE plans on being there, according to the Trump administration from months ago, even though I haven't heard that recently. Also, diversity issues, because 10 head coaching openings, not one single black coach was picked, even though, like John in Atlanta just said, the caller a few minutes ago, if Mike Tomlin, Marcus Freeman out of Notre Dame, Brian Flores in his lawsuit didn't have those issues going on, there probably would have been three black head coaches in the National Football League. The other issue on the docket is going to be an 18-game regular season. All of us would prefer it rather than the meaningless preseason games that we have, but it would definitely compromise safety, because the athletes would be more exposed to the violence on a football field for an extra game. So that's something to take into consideration. Global expansion. We've seen games in Europe. We've seen them in Germany. We've seen them in, Ireland. We've seen them in France and England and stuff like that. Global expansion, they'll be talking about that. Broadcast and streaming deals, of course, with the NFL being what it is. I mean, if the NFL, think about it this way, ladies and gentlemen, if the NBA signed an 11-year, $77 billion deal, how much money do you think the NFL is going to be in line for? I'd say at least $300 billion, $250 to $300 billion. $250 to $300 billion. That's what I say. That's my personal opinion about it. So I think that needs to be brought up. And, of course, Epstein, Jeff Epstein, committed suicide in 2019, obviously. Child molester and sexual assault and all that's a despicable human being. It's a special place in hell for people like him. Nevertheless, 3 million pages of the Epstein files were released publicly last week. And some NFL names were in there. Some sports figures' names were in there, including owner for the New York Giants, Mr. Steve Tisch. I'll read a statement that he and the Giants had issued in the aftermath of this information coming out, to be fair, to make sure we articulate what he had to say. But nevertheless, you need to know that his name was in those emails. Marcus in Nashville, real quick, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead.
Stephen A., thanks for taking my call. I ain't called you in a couple of weeks, man. I've been, you know, praying for my Seahawks and realize we don't make
it. I got you. I'm rushing you, though. I'm rushing you, bro, because we only got 2 minutes before a hard break. So just go ahead and say what your point is. But I appreciate you. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you for giving us all the praise the last couple of days. Root for the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. Just pray that, you know, Sam Darnold can continue doing what he's doing, man, and we can bring another one home, man. That's all I wanted.
Well, I'm going to say this. I ain't rooting against the Seahawks. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Pray for me, okay? I'm just saying what I think is going to happen, and I think that the Seattle Seahawks are proven to be the best team in the NFL, and I find it hard-pressed to believe that New England is going to be able to pull this out and upset them. That's where I'm coming from with it, but whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm not going to lose sleep over whoever wins. I mean, if New England wins, then I got to live with Bostonians and folks from Massachusetts everywhere bragging about how they're title town. So that doesn't make me feel good. Seattle, I wanted the Rams in it because I think the Rams, with Matthew Stafford flinging that football with Puka Nacua to throw the football to, along with Devontae Adams and the rest of the crew, are far more entertaining to watch as an offense, and I was looking forward to seeing them in the Super Bowl, but it wasn't meant to be, courtesy of Xavier Smith bobbling the punt and their defense not being able to get stops when they needed to. So it is what it is. But Seattle, to me, has proven to be the best team in the National Football League, and I expect them to validate that with a Super Bowl championship this Sunday night. But I don't mind being wrong, and I certainly hope that it's going to be a thriller and it's not going to be a blowout, because we don't like blowouts in championship matches. Hour number two up next. Some more football, some basketball, some boxing. Stick around, don't go anywhere. It's more of the Stephen A. Smith Show coming at you.
Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM. Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. And, of course, you can always send me a voicemail at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. A couple of things to point to you about. The Los Angeles Lakers lost the game to the New York Knicks last night in Madison Square Garden. People are talking about it might have been the last time we've seen LeBron James at Madison Square Garden. I want to say that if it is the last game we've seen of him at Madison Square Garden, respect this man, appreciate this man, the greatness that he's brought to the table for 23 seasons. He's on the Mount Rushmore of basketball. I don't think anybody can deny that. He's been that great, that phenomenal all of these years. And I love the quote that he gave last week when he talked about battling Father Time and taking it personally. Because that's the heart of a champion when somebody does that, because that's what we're all doing right now. If we're really, really being honest, you know, I want to emphasize that there's a difference between being alive and living. And that quote by LeBron James could easily be applicable to all of us. When you talk about fighting Father Time and taking it personal, it's not just about being alive and being on this earth. It's also about being the best that you can possibly be, so you're living as well as you can live. There are people alive that are incapacitated to some degree anyway, hobbled, deficient in very significant ways, laying in hospital beds and all of this other stuff because, you know, some a lot through no fault of their own, others because you didn't eat right, you didn't exercise, you didn't take care of yourself. This is about living your best life. And when I heard LeBron James say that quote, it made me appreciate him even more. We have that quote. So listen to LeBron James talking about it so you can hear it for yourself. Take it away, Sean.
Yeah. My why has been that you know, I'm still playing this game at a high level and I still love the process. You know, the process of putting in the work, inspiring, you know, giving what I got to the game, because I'll have more years in my life without it than with it to be able to inspire. You know, I'm not talking about even me personally. I think I've done well for myself on a personal note, but it's been the same. Now, obviously, you know, the question gets asked more and the thought, you know, creeps in my mind more at 41 years old of when when the end is and where's the finish line for us to hang this thing up. So, but the drive on, you know, how much like juice I can squeeze out of this orange, you know, and how can I continue to, I'm in a battle with the father of time, and I'm kind of taking it personal, you know, and I'm going to see how many more times I could be victorious over him. And, but I'm not, I won't be one of those guys that, you know, won't be able to walk off the court. That's for sure.
That's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Doing things in life under your own terms. And when you have health, that's the biggest first step towards being able to pull that off. So I applaud LeBron James for what he just said there, because I thought it was important to bring that up. Having said that, let me say this to y'all. Under no circumstances do I believe this is going to be his last year. Because I think LeBron James is the kind of a player and the kind of personality that wants to be celebrated. And he wants to be appreciated. I thought when you saw him with tears, you know, fighting back tears and ultimately crying and covering his face when he was in Cleveland and they were celebrating him the way that they did, and it meant the world to him. I think that's what he wants to see around the league. And to be quite honest with you, he deserves it because of what he's meant to the game of basketball. Nobody's going to belabor anything here. We all know our history with each other. You understand? But it doesn't take away from his greatness. People have differences all the time in the media with professional athletes and all of that stuff. Does not take away from his greatness. Does not take away from what he's done for the game. Does not take away from what he's meant to the world of sports. Does not deny or negate the fact that we will miss him when he is gone. And when he caught that alley-oop last night and had Reggie Miller out of his seat broadcasting the game with Jamal Crawford and those boys, I mean, it was something special to see. When you saw him hugging Melo, when Melo was doing the pregame with Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady, T-Mac, by the way, they're doing an outstanding job out of Ray. The wonderful Maria Taylor was hosting it with them. I mean, when you see this kind of stuff, you see the celebration and whatever. It's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. And in the end, as we look at the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm bringing all of this up because I consider them to be in a bad spot. Because they don't suck, but they're not great either. Which means essentially you're the middle of the road. It's like you're the Pittsburgh Steelers of basketball. You're going to be good enough to get to the postseason and then your ass is going home. They were 12 of 42 from three-point range yesterday. Most of these shots that they're missing are wide open shots. A matter of fact, most of the shots the Lakers miss from three are wide open shots. When they're contested, they actually make more than when they're wide open. You're getting to a point where the opposition is running away from them and daring them to shoot the three-pointers. And you wonder why you look at J.J. Redick, and even though they're 10 games over 500, why he looks so damn frustrated. This is one of the great shooters in NBA history. It's kind of hard. You know what? J.J. Redick watching the Lakers shoot is tantamount to Magic Johnson or John Stockton watching guards that can't pass. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy. It's like Shaq watching big men that can't dunk or can't move. You ever watch how Shaq judges people? It's nothing compared to how he judges big men. Because he knows what it takes to be an elite big man, and he knows when cats are falling short. It matters. And so those kind of things that's transpiring, you're looking at the Los Angeles Lakers and you're saying they're the middle of the road. You're not great enough to legitimately compete for a championship. At least that's the way it appears to be at this moment in time. Who knows how it's going to be once Austin Reeves, who's averaging 26 a game, gets back in the lineup with LeBron and with Luka, who missed enough games together. They've played like 51 of their 80 games together, and I think the record is like 32 and 19 with one another. But the bottom line is this. Luka's Luka offensively, but he's a liability defensively. LeBron shouldn't be expected to do but so much defensively because he's 41 years of age and his 23rd year in the league. And Austin Reeves will never be accused of being an elite defender. So they got a lot of offense with those three, but other cats can't hit open shots. And defensively, there are too many holes for them to legitimately compete with OKC, with San Antonio, with Houston, with Denver, with Minnesota. And God help anybody if the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I don't believe will pull it off, but if they end up getting their hands on Giannis and Giannis is healthy enough to play with Anthony Edwards, God help us all. Because them two brothers and what they will mean looking together on the court. And by the way, let's not sleep on Houston, who's got four dudes that they can start in the lineup at 6'11" or taller. Let's not rule them out. All of these things, let's not rule out Golden State if they get Giannis and he's healthy, because they got all seven first-round picks of their own over the next 7 years. And if you put Giannis with Steph Curry and Draymond Green, God help us. Speaking of Draymond Green, he made news because he got a technical. And I don't know if we have that sound, Sean, but he was explaining. He was explaining why he got a technical foul and bringing attention to it. So rather than us assume, just know that Draymond Green got a technical foul. And obviously that made a lot of news, okay? And because of that, needless to say, you ain't got to look for Draymond to talk about something. If you want to talk about something, he going to make sure he talks about something. All right? And listen to what he had to say about what happened.
I will tell you, though, I find it very ironic that I got a technical foul for telling a Caucasian referee not to put his hand in my face. As a black man in America, don't put your hand in my face. And I said, hey, don't put your hand in my face, and I got a tech. So I thought that was the most interesting thing of the night.
Did he try to explain himself?
He said, Draymond, this is your chance to stop talking to me, bro. Don't put your hand in my face. Oh, tech. Oh, okay. So, you know, everybody want to talk about holding the line of respect. That line need to be held both ways.
You heard what Draymond Green said there. Took umbrage with the technical foul he picked up from an official during Friday's game. This is during Friday's game against the Detroit Pistons, arguing with veteran official JT Orr throughout the first half. And you heard what he had to say there. Okay? He said, so I thought it was the most interesting thing of the night next to my bobblehead. He joked about that. And he was referencing the Warriors giveaway of a bobblehead of him in a Michigan State jersey. But he continued describing his interaction with Orr. And he explained what transpired. He spent several minutes of his news conference following Friday's 131-124 loss describing the whole exchange. He said it started because he felt the Pistons were intentionally trying to hold the ball after a made basket to slow the Warriors down. And that's why he spoke up about it. He got the technical with 8 minutes, 44 seconds left in the second quarter. Closed his story on the exchange by using Orr's name, something the NBA usually frowns upon by any player or coach. But he mentioned the referee's name anyway. And so naturally, you have to look at it, and there are several things. Number one, Draymond Green is known for getting technical fouls. Draymond Green is known for speaking his mind. Draymond Green is known for being excessively verbal on the basketball court and very demonstrative when he's talking to officials. So in that respect, he's not going to garner any level of sympathy or understanding from most observers. But here's the bottom line. If you're black living in this day and age, with some of the things that you are witnessing transpire in our society, your sensitivity level is going to be heightened. And because it's heightened, when you're dealing with anybody black, but especially a black man, is proud and is accomplished and is fiery, is Draymond Green, you better toe the line. Draymond Green is a lot of things. Okay? I haven't spoken to him in a long time. Don't know when we'll ever speak again. Doesn't matter. He's a good man. And no matter what you see from him on a basketball court, his basketball IQ is off the charts. He's smart as a whip. And off the court, he's a good brother. And he's not going to just say something like that unless he really took umbrage with something. And you saw what he said. Caucasian man putting his hand in my face. Is that about the referee and his direct actions against Draymond Green? Sure. but it's also about the times we're living in. And so you're going to see a heightened level of sensitivity and a heightened level of fire and a lot of fight back from a lot of people who are black. That's just the way it is. So many people try to be literal with the facts. These are the facts. Hell, I'm one of them. All right, here's the facts of the situation. This is compared to what your interpretation is. That's fine. And in the world of politics or social commentary and stuff like that, that's different. But when you're walking out in the streets, it's an entirely different connotation. The heat of the moment confronts you. And if you're in a place of business in the world of sports and you're considering the way things were in terms of a heightened level of sensitivity, and how receptive folks were to that once upon a time compared to the lack of sensitivity that some may appear to have in these times, because the impression is that, hell, folks, stuff is kind of returning to old times, per se, in some people's eyes. Then you're going to see a heightened level of sensitivity, and it's certainly going to come from somebody that likes a Draymond Green, which brings us back to or the official. Did you put your hands in his face? The answer to that appears to be yes, from the video I saw. And does not Draymond have the right to tell you, get your hands out of my face, without receiving a technical foul? The answer to that would be yes. So to me, luckily no more came of it. And I think the NBA would be wise to let this go. Because if indeed Draymond ends up getting fined for mentioning the referee by name, then it heightens awareness of exactly what transpired. And then you're going to have a bunch of people saying, well, what did he put his hands in Draymond Green's face for? You know, like, talk to the hand. Not that he did that, because he was saying, you know, like Draymond said, you don't want to get a technical. That's how it goes. Don't put your hand in my face. I got a tech. There you go. You might not like it, but if that's the way Draymond felt, that's the way Draymond felt. And you can't delegitimize or illegitimize his comment. You just can't do it because you aren't the one with the hands in your face. It's just that simple. I wasn't there. I wasn't an eyewitness. I saw the video. I heard what Draymond had to say. I flow with Draymond on this. I just do. Case by case basis. I flow with Draymond. 888 Mad Dog 6 says 888-623-3646. Let's get back to the calls right here with Stephen A. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's go to Sean in Massachusetts. You're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Hey, Stephen A. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you for calling. What's going on, bro?
I'm good. So I wanted to talk about the recent head coaching hires. Yep. I get it. I understand. I get it. These organizations have a certain coach in mind. They feel like they were comfortable with it. Maybe make it right. They were not any black coaches hired, because we see all. We see some of these black coaches that we have, like a D'Amico Rice, who is a leader of men. So you're telling me Brian Flores isn't the leader of men?
Brian Flores is not about him being a leader of men. It's that he was let go by Miami, and then he filed a lawsuit against the Miami Dolphins, the New York Giants, the National Football League, etc., because he believed that, first of all, he was terminated under false pretenses. He believed there was some racial animus aimed towards him, and he believed that the whole process of him being interviewed by the Giants were illegitimate, courtesy of Bill Belichick, you know, not recognizing that Brian didn't know that Brian Daboll had got offered the job or whatever. And I forgot how that whole thing went down, but the point is that you have an impending lawsuit going against the National Football League and a couple of teams under its purview. And so because that's the reality, you usually don't end up getting a job, which is why the whole Colin Kaepernick thing was such a significant issue back in the day, because you had sued the NFL, you had reached a settlement, and despite reaching a settlement after you had sued the National Football League, in concert with Jay-Z, were willing put together a workout where 26 teams ended up showing up, including 18 African-Americans who were serving as player personnel officials, and you decide not to show up for that particular workout, but you was going to have it on your own an hour and 20 minutes away at a high school football field. So when that happened, I sat up there and said, it's over. He won't be in the NFL anymore, because they had given him that open door, that open window, and the individual teams did not want to be responsible for bringing him in for a tryout, because their contention was, what if we don't want him? He's going to accuse us of being racist. We don't want that, so we don't want that responsibility, which is why the NFL had to step in, because too many teams were fearful of that, which is why they conducted a workout for an individual player for the first time in history. And when Colin Kaepernick elected not to show up, I knew it was over then, that he'd never be in the NFL again. And so now we look at Brian Flores. I don't think it's quite that severe for him, but I do think it's safe to say, until that lawsuit issue is over and done with, that will get in the way of him being a head man.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think that, you know, me personally, I thought he would have been the perfect candidate for the Raiders, because I think they need someone that is an adult in the room.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Clint Kubiak is that guy. Isn't that guy, but I think with his track record, especially, I'm not looking at 2019. I'm looking at 2020 and 2021. Miami was pretty good when he was the head coach there.
He set the stage for Mike McDaniel. He set the stage for Mike McDaniel and them to do what they were doing.
And I
over
thought
the last few years.
And
yes.
And I thought that you bringing in all intents and purposes, Fernando Mendoza at the number one overall spot. I thought you needed that culture builder. So I thought the Raiders missed out when it come to him.
You could be right. But let's see what Clint Kubiak does. Let's see what he does. But I appreciate the call, Sean. Thank you so much. Let's go to Dana in Virginia. You're live with Stephen A. Dana, good afternoon.
Hey, apologize. I've been taking so long and getting back with you about the question. You're asking a question. We're talking about New York NBA players.
Yep.
Born in New York. You're asking, because he made the last pick, who the best point guard to come out of New York. Man.
Okay.
That was a week ago?
That was a week ago, week and a half ago?
About 2 weeks.
So what's your answer?
Tanny Archibald, hands down.
Okay.
The best guy came out of New York.
Okay.
Yeah. But
okay.
Handling-wise, I can give it to, I think, Sham God. Because they got a
new name after him. Handle-wise, yes, but not overall game. Love God, Sham God. But he wasn't Stephon Marbury. He was not Stephon Marbury. Don't do that.
You shocked me with that, because you said that Stephon was your guy. Stephon, you're a bad boy, though, Steve.
Listen, God Sham God, he's a friend to this day. He was on this show a few months ago. Love God Sham God. Special. But he wasn't the player. I'm telling you, I covered them at the same time. I was a high school reporter for the New York Daily News. I covered God Sham God. I covered Kareem Reed at St. Raymond's. I covered Stephon Marbury. I covered Felipe Lopez at Rice. I'm not asking you. I was there. I'm telling you. As good as he was not Stephon Marbury. I'm not asking you.
Let me see this right here about boxing right quick, Stephen A., because I heard this, and I want to get your opinion on this. Shakur Stevens and the kid, Keyshawn Davis.
Yes.
I love to see those two fight, but I heard that they good friends, and they say they're not going to fight each other. What's going on with boxing?
I would say this to you. Let me stop you. I will tell you this. I respect it. I just don't have to like it as a boxing fan, because that would be a great fight. I mean, Keyshawn Davis got some power. I mean, he took that cat out with the body shot. The brother got skills, and he'll maul you, and he beat you down. He's quick. He's fast. He's got skill. He's got heart. I got a lot of respect, a lot of love for him. Shakur Stevenson gave Teofimo Lopez a boxing lesson. He took him to school. I had him winning 11 rounds to 1. He picked him apart. Teofimo Lopez, I mean, it was a nasty gash right under his eye, you know, his eyebrow, you know, and that's why he was bleeding. It wasn't like he was beat up like that, but it was just a nasty gash. But Shakur was faster. He was quicker. His defense was sublime. He just, Teofimo couldn't hit him. And that was what bothered Teofimo. He knew that, Shakur's jab was big time. And I think that shocked Teofimo, and he couldn't get in with the quickness. But it wasn't just the jab of Shakur. Shakur's defense was so surreal, Teofimo couldn't hit him. I only counted two times he caught Stevenson with a decent shot. Twice! That's it. In 12 rounds. He picked him apart. I mean, gave him a boxing lesson. And I think that Shakur's boxing skills are that pure, that elite, where he could do that with anybody. But my issue is, do you really have the power? Because when you want to mess with Conor Benn, for example, like, he comes into the ring after Shakur calls him out and challenging him, and it's like, yeah, you could beat him by decision, but you ain't knocking him out. That's the issue with Shakur right now. He walks into the ring, which, you know, in all likelihood, he's really not going to stop you, but he's an all-world boxer. I think all-time great in terms of his defensive prowess. He's really special, but the power isn't there. And he's not a villain, a bad guy like Money Mayweather. So how marketable are you going to be when you're not a pariah and on top of it all, you're not a knockout artist? I don't know about that, Dana. That's my issue.
Let me end it with one thing, Stephen A. Abdul Mason. He's going to put all that. Keyshawn Davis, Shakur, all that. Now, him and Shakur fighting, Abdul Mason, Shakur fighting, that'll be like a Sugar Ray, Tommy Hearns fight. Because Shakur got the defense, but Abdul Mason got that power, man, both hands, got a good chin. Man, he put people down, Stephen A. He put them down. That's my favorite fight in that lightweight division.
Yeah, so the brother's 20-0. He's undefeated with 17 knockouts. Now, he ain't really fought nobody, but I tell you this much, he deserves it. He deserves a shot. 85% knockout rate. Brothers, he's special. I got to see him against somebody. I got to see him, you know, and I don't know if the fights are going to be there for him to get, because you got cats that's moving up. You got a cat like Javonte Davis. I don't want to see Javonte Davis fighting nobody before you give Lamont Roach his rematch. That's what I want to see. You got to give him his rematch. You understand? So it's those kind of things. But I appreciate the call, Dana. Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Kurt in Ohio, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me.
Hey, Stephen A., can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Hey, before I give you a Giannis question, I know you're talking high school hoops. Here in the Buckeye State, before LeBron, and this might be for your younger listeners, the man was the Clark Kellogg, and
that's a long time ago, my
injuries,
brother.
That's a long time ago.
I know, but I got you.
He was something, boy. With the handle, 6'8". Boy, he was something.
He was special.
Anyway, Stephen A., if you're Cleveland, would you give up Mobley for Giannis straight up?
No, I mean, I shouldn't say no. I shouldn't say no. A healthy Giannis, yes. Not the one with four injuries in the last 19 months in the calf. I'm worried about it.
There's talk, and the reason why it's really picking up steam is Donovan's got, you know, a little bit of a window starting, you know, pretty soon. And, you know, if you wait around, Mobley's not the healthiest guy either.
Well, listen, let me say this to you. Here's why you have to have trepidation about Giannis's injury. If it's Kevin Durant, there's nothing to think about. Because Kevin Durant's game is predicated on his perimeter skill set. The brother can pull up from three. He's got a mid-range. He goes to the free throw line and hits 88% of his free throws. He can hit from 10, 15, 20, 30 feet. He's got a handle. He's in the open court. Giannis is downhill. Giannis is above the rim. Giannis is attacking the rim. I can't look at Giannis and ignore the calf injury the way I would ignore it with KD. Because if anything severe compromises Giannis's legs, knees, calves, etc., it will drastically inhibit his game. Kevin Durant is a sharpshooter who's 7 feet tall with a 7'6 wingspan. So I'm going to judge a calf injury different with him than I would judge with Giannis. You understand what I'm saying? That's the issue. That's the issue. I'm going to look at that. And it's like your ability, like, for example, if Russell Westbrook, let's hypothetically speaking, if Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry suffered ACL injuries, right? Who are you more worried about? And I'm talking about Russell Westbrook in his prime. You're still worried about Russell Westbrook because his athleticism was off the charts. Him and Derrick Rose are the two most athletic point guards in NBA history. And you're looking at Russell Westbrook and you're like, okay, his 100 mile per hour motor, his ability to play above the rim, his physicality, his fierceness and toughness, and all of those things. That Russell Westbrook, if he gets injured and it hobbles his legs in any way, he's in a world of trouble. But because Steph Curry could pull up from 40, it's different and not as severe. You see my point?
Yeah, I get you. Hey, one last thing. Do you think LeBron should finish his career in Cleveland?
I've been said that. I said that this summer before the season started. I said LeBron should have left and went back to Cleveland, and Cleveland would be going to the finals.
I said
LeBron James. If LeBron James, Donovan Mitchell, and Evan Mobley are on the same team, they're going to the finals. That's what
I
said.
Brother. I love you, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. More of your calls in a minute. Don't go away. You're listening live to Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Back to the phones we go. 36 minutes past hour. Number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Hour number two, by the way. Right here, 36 minutes past hour number two on the Stephen A. Smith Show. By the way, I'm not going to get into this. Probably touch on it on my YouTube show at a later date or whatever. I don't know. Maybe later on today, but I want to at least mention it on the show right now. Do y'all know that the mayor for Santa Clara is worried that ICE threats are going to ruin the Super Bowl? That's a sports story. ICE, with all the stuff that's been going on, there are still threats by the Trump administration that they will be at the Super Bowl. If that happens, it will be a disaster. It really, really, really will. Just want to say that in the days to come, this kind of stuff is going to be percolating. There's no way to avoid this issue. I sincerely hope that the Trump administration will pull back on that. You don't need to be messing with the Super Bowl. Let people enjoy the Super Bowl. Let them watch the Super Bowl in peace. You don't need to be having that threat dangling over there. I think that somebody's going to approach Roger Goodell today during his press conference, State of the NFL press conference, and ask him about that. Because that's a real, real issue that's not going anywhere. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. 888-623-3646. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in San Diego. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Mark? How are you?
How you doing, sir? Appreciate it.
All right, talk to me.
Hey, when you're talking about coaches, how come Eric Bieniemy doesn't come up? I mean,
because he's had numerous opportunities and he hasn't gotten a job. It's nice to see him back. It's nice to see him back in Kansas City. He should have never been gone from there. And I believe, personally speaking, I love me some Andy Reid. I truly, truly do. But I think it was a disservice for Andy Reid to not leave play calling completely to Eric Bieniemy those years. Because I think that
he would have got a head coach job. As an OC. He got two Super Bowls as an OC, and when he was with the Bears as a running back coach, they led the NFL in rushing.
Hey, bro, who are you talking to? We all know that Eric Bieniemy has the qualifications to be a head coach.
I'm a Rams fan. I'm not even a Chiefs fan, a Bears fan.
But we all know.
I'm just saying, like, he should be up for consideration.
All right,
so
why do you think he's not?
I don't know. I don't
know.
That's why I'm asking the expert. That's why
I'm telling you, he's interviewed for numerous jobs, and the excuse that they use is that he didn't interview well. And we all lamented that and decried that all the time. We were like, what the hell are you talking about?
I love the guy. The guy's great. I just
makes no sense to me.
No, Zero.
Here's what I would tell you.
And that's why I was asking you, because you're
here's what I would tell you.
Me and...
Mark, here's what I would tell you why I got you on the phone. My hope is that he was brought back to Kansas City as the offensive coordinator, fully aligned in taking over the job once Andy Reid departs.
That's the 10%.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That's the 10%, though.
You got it?
You never know.
Fair?
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, man. Eddie. Thank you so much. Let's go to Kevin in Houston. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, man? How are you, Kev?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right, man. Talk to me. What's up?
Good. First of all, man, I just want to extend my appreciation to you, man. I don't care what nobody say, man. I know, and I've been following you. First of all, I've been following you for a long time. For a long time, man. And I know what you do for the community. That's all I want to say. All the brothers say this, all the people that say the negative things about you, I'm not saying that you're perfect in God, but nobody is. But, man, I just want to extend my gratitude to you, man.
I appreciate the love, man. Thank you. Means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
And, hey, man, on the Draymond Green situation, I just want all of the people, all my brothers and everything to – I don't want to say the wrong thing, Steve, but, man, we better open our eyes and take a look at what the league is doing, man. The demographic is changing. No more trench babies, no more project babies getting called to the league. That's all I got to say. I'm gonna tell you one more thing. What's that boy, Morant? John Morant, he ain't made it no better. He ain't made it no better, man. When we come in the league causing problems, bro, that give them leverage to remove and dissect and clean out and make this thing whole again.
That's a deeper conversation. And that's a deeper conversation. And you ain't wrong for saying it, bro. You're not wrong. Because listen, but listen, let's call it what it is, okay? You know, this is America, all right? And even though the NBA is a global brand and has successfully globalized its brand or whatever, and you have European players from all over the place and stuff like that. And listen, that's not just white players, it's black players. You know, you got players from Africa, you got players from different parts of the world, you got Wembanyama from France and stuff like that. The fact of the matter is that if you can ingratiate yourself with an international audience, that's more money for you. You don't get a $77 billion deal if you don't globalize your brand. So we can't knock the league. But in terms of the style of play, in terms of how things go down from time to time, you're absolutely right. There's cause to pause when you see the way that the things are done from time to time. I'm not pointing any fingers at Adam Silver because I think Adam Silver is a great commissioner. And he's done a great job, and the league has done a great job. But you have a mass public out there from a global perspective. They want to see what they want to see, and they want to see who they want to see. That's why it's going to be forever inexplicable. How could you trade Luka Doncic? Because he was a global, iconic brand. Why would you trade him off your team when he brought you money in? He brought money into your team, not just the league, but to your team from all over the world. Why would you do that? It makes no sense whatsoever. But you also make a point when you point out John Morant. John Morant walks around with a lot of attitude. You know, I personally respect the hell out of him. You know, but he made wrong decisions earlier on, and when he made those decisions, we had to call him out on it. Now, he's been salty about that ever since, and that's his right. Do what you want to do. But here's my issue with Ja Morant. I've seen no development in his game. Zero.
None.
He's still a damn good player. But when we were talking about him once upon a time, he was box office, and he was phenomenal. And now we look at him, and it's the same old, same old. With the exception of a play here or there, it's the same. It's like his jump shot. He's like shooting like 23% from the three-point range. How you going to be a guard in today's NBA game shooting 23% from three-point range? That's no threat.
That's right. Well, man, they say a fish rot from the head down. Who's ahead of him? That's all I'm saying.
Well, you could say that, but how is Taylor Jenkins not there as head coach right now? And I'm not going to blame John Morant for that. How is Taylor Jenkins not there as head coach right now? I just don't understand it.
Well, I'm going to say this and I'm going to let you go. I wasn't just talking about the team-wise. I was just talking about his supporting cast, his personal supporting cast.
Gotcha. Well, we don't know about that. You know what? In fairness, you haven't heard anything about his pops, for example, over the last couple of years. And his quote-unquote hanging wrongs, they haven't caused any issues, bro. This at this moment in time, it's about John Morant's game. Let's get, you know, people aren't perfect. They make mistakes. But let's not point to his inner circle, whether that's his family or friends or whatever. This is all on John Morant. He's still a damn good player and a phenomenal athlete. I've just seen no growth in his game. I'm looking at the same game I saw 2-3 years ago. That's what my issue. That's how I feel about it. Appreciate the call, though. Alan, Long Island, you're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Stephen Smith? First of all, want to make sure that you got an invitation to the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame on April 19th. We put a word out. I don't know if anybody got back to us.
I did not.
I am the treasurer of Ring Aid Veterans Boxing Association, Boxing Help Boxers. And we do the annual Hall of Fame for New York State Boxing and give out awards. It's at Russo's on the Bay. It's at April 19th. Write that down. You can be my guest. We were going to give you an award, but nobody got back to us. You got my number on your machine. That's number one. Number two
If I can make it, I will, but I'm very busy. But if I can make it, I will. But go ahead. What's your second point?
Anytime. Matter of fact, you can pick a time out. We do one in April, and we do a dinner in December. Okay, second thing is, how do you get somebody inducted into the Hall of Fame, in the International Boxing Hall of Fame? I'll give you my father's name, Johnny LoBianco. And he did two memorable fights with Muhammad Ali, plus fights with Norton, plus fights with George Foreman. Okay. One of the best fights was Ali and Ernie Shavers. He was a cavalcade with Arthur McCanty back in the day when they had Gillette Friday Night at the Fights. Dad refereed for many years, and there's no way that I can even get him on a ballot. I just don't understand it. And you know boxing better than anybody.
That's not true. I know boxing, but I don't know boxing better than everybody. There's a few people that know boxing better than me. Trust me. They're lifers, and they cover the nooks and crannies. I'm about major fights, and I love boxing from an historical perspective as long as I've been watching boxing. But I would never discredit the boxing industry that thinking I'm an aficionado compared to some of the aficionados who actually cover boxing. I know my stuff, but I got mad love and respect for those that are doing it on an everyday basis, including my former colleague at ESPN, Max Kellerman. I don't know more boxing than that, man. I don't know more boxing than Jim Lampley. I don't know more boxing than the Larry Merchants of the world and others and the great things that they did. Roy Jones Jr., Andre Ward, Timothy Bradley, all of these guys. Now, I got to give them their respect. No doubt about that. All of them. All of them. I'm second tier compared to them, my man. But I appreciate the call. Thank you for it. I got to run. Let's go to Victor in Connecticut. You're live with Stephen A. Real quick, Victor, go ahead.
Steven, you ain't second tier to nobody, my friend. You are top notch. Listen, we have something in common. We both want to see the Knicks win a title before we go.
Yes.
And the good thing about sports is it's not etched in stone. But listen, saying that Cat was the centerpiece of a trade, something like Cat, McBride, three number ones. When's the last time the Knicks had
Knicks
a good number
Knicks don't one? Have Knicks don't have three number ones to give.
Well, even give
they
him
gave up
one.
Too many. They gave up too many because they gave up five to get Mikal Bridges.
Well, here's the point. Mikal Bridges has played 700 games in a row, something like that. If you got to trade him to get Giannis, if you're talking about the world being scared, if you put Brunson and Giannis, the two best players in the East, let's even God forbid he missed a whole year for an Achilles. Who would you rather have for the rest of their career?
Giannis, I feel you on that. Hold on. I feel you on that. What I'm saying to you is that if you were to get Giannis now, and God forbid those four calf injuries in the last 19 months were exacerbated to a point that it leads to an Achilles tear, you're talking about 18 months of rehabilitation where you traded away key players, key assets that were joining Brunson, and you don't have anything in return if Giannis goes down. All I'm saying to you is that it's a palpable fear. That doesn't mean you don't do the deal. It just means that people can make arguments on both sides of the coin as to why you should or shouldn't, and it's something to take into consideration. That's all it means.
You sound scared, man.
I am scared.
Like you're worried about the next four. You're worried about the next 4 months.
I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about the next 2 years. I'm worried about the next 2 years because if you tear your Achilles, he's out for at least 18 months.
What about the next 6 years? What about the next 8 years where we got Giannis for the rest of his career, bro? That makes us a title contender ad infinitum.
Victor, who say you're going to ever be the same? Because he's not Kevin Durant, who's got a perimeter game. Giannis don't shoot like that. Giannis attacks the basket. His game is different. Achilles' heel to him is far more severe than it would be to a Kyrie Irving, to a Kevin Durant, somebody like that, even to a Jason Tatum. It's far more severe for Giannis because Giannis doesn't have a perimeter game. He is a downhill player, open court, and attacks the basket. That's his game.
I would rather have Giannis. And, I got you. You know, you talked about if they put him with Curry or if they put him with Edwards. Cat never did nothing with Edwards. And the other thing is, this guy is, you talk about a brand. He is a worldwide brand. He brings Knicks
wasn't,
fans.
We weren't talking about the brand. You're annoying me because you're putting words in my mouth that I didn't say. We ain't question nothing about the brand. We only talking about his game and whether or not that's going, you know, an injury, what that does to it. If you give up these assets, if you're the New York Knicks. And by the way, Karl Anthony Towns with Ant-Man went to the conference finals, just so you remember that. 888-MADDOG-6, 888-623-3646. Your calls to close out the show in a minute. It's Stephen A., SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
888-MADDOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. A couple of calls before we get on out of here for the day and hand the reins off to Mad Dog Russo and the crew. Super Bowl week in the house. Let's go to Steve in Cali. You're live with Stephen A. What's up? Steve in Cali, are you there? Steve in Cali going once? Going twice. Bye, Steve. Steve in Florida. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, Stephen J. here. Hey, I know you're up against it. The Heat need to trade Tyler Hero. Obviously, for something big, they're going to want, one of the Ware or maybe Larson or Yaquez. But Hero's crazy if any team's going to give him a max deal. He's too often injured. And like always, I have faith in Riley. I know you're up against it. Enjoy. Peace, man. Take care.
Yeah. If you're the Miami Heat, I mean, Giannis with Bam Adebayo definitely would be huge. There's no doubt about that. The flip side to it, however, is that, you know, again, is it what can you offer that's going to be enough for the Milwaukee Bucks to accept a deal for Giannis? That's really, really, really a huge question. Because I don't know what the answer to that question is. Now, as I look at the landscape and I see these teams that have the potential to get their hands on Giannis, here's what the Heat have. They can take back Antetokounmpo's salary, Giannis' salary, and still not be impeded by the first apron hard cap. From a contract standpoint, they've got three players earning more than $25 million, including Tyler Hero and Andrew Wiggins. Both players are free agents in 2027, so if you get those players for Giannis, you get chance to clear your cap space, which a lot of teams could be very, very interested in doing because these are financial times that we're living in. They also could have the $26.6 million expiring contract of Terry Rozier, who was placed on leave by the NBA in October because of the whole gambling thing. They've got young players in Khalil Ware and Ame Jaquez Jr. They've also got two available first-round picks in 2030 and 2032, but that's a long time away. So you got that. They're already put $7.2 million below the first apron. So you got that going on. They can swap rights in 2026, 2029, 2030, 2031, 2032. So there's a lot of things that the Miami Heat could do, and I get that, okay? And so, I just don't know if it'll be enough because we're talking about Giannis. We're talking about Giannis. And that's what I think we got to pay attention to more so than anything else. We're talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. And in order to get him, you're going to have to give up a lot. Ain't no way around it. It just is what it is. I would love for the Knicks to get him. I just don't want him to come here and then all of a sudden he's hurt. He can't go. And we miss out on this season and the chance that presents itself because Giannis couldn't go. Because tomorrow ain't guaranteed, people. You see, and that's the thing that we got to remember, that tomorrow's not guaranteed. I'm very, very nervous about it myself. I ain't going to apologize for that to anybody. I would love to have Giannis because I think he's an all-world player, but a healthy Giannis is what I'm talking about. You know, that's what I'm talking about more so than anything else, not the other stuff everybody's talking about. It just is what it is. Giannis in a Miami Heat uniform, I don't have a problem with that. Doesn't bother me in the slightest. Let me be very clear about that. The thought of Giannis being in a Miami Heat uniform doesn't bother me at all. But neither does Giannis in a New York Knicks uniform. It's a lot to think about, y'all. It's a lot to think about. But that ain't all, because we are. It is Super Bowl week that's here. Let's keep that in mind and understand better times are ahead. Lots of stuff to talk about. Long week ahead of it. A great week. See you tomorrow. Same bad time and channel. Peace.